Apostle Peter reminds the readers that we are a chosen generation, a chosen race. So what shall we do? We should maintain those unique features. Then we are a royal priesthood. We have to serve God and man. Then we are a holy nation. So we must be separated to God and we must be holy in our practice too. And we are His own special treasure. We are so precious to God. So we must be confident. We must be happy. Because God values us. We are so precious to Him. Then Apostle Peter says that we have a great responsibility. What is that? To proclaim the praises of the Lord. The excellencies of the Lord. Then he explains there from our own experience. We have experienced certain great qualities of God. What is that? He is the light. He has taken us, translated us from darkness to light. We have to exhibit that light. And we have experienced God's love. We were not a people. We were not even called a people. Then what else? We were unlovable people. Peter says, manifest that love. Then we got mercy. God had mercy on us. We were supposed to be punished in the eternal hellfire. Peter says, we have received mercy, manifest it. So now from verse 11 onwards, Apostle Peter wants to say that, how shall we exhibit the glory or the qualities of God? How can we exhibit make known the excellencies of God? What is that? He uses one word there in verse 11 or verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Honorable conduct. Some translation you may read that. Differences may be there. Honorable conversation. Or honorable walk. But we know that whether it is walk or conversation, the idea is that refers to a Christian's lifestyle, a Christian's conduct, behavior. And that should be honorable. The word, you know, honorable, that means, the original word means excellent, lovely, winsome, fine, noble, and admirable. So a Christian's behavior should be excellent. That is the way we need to make known the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is not supposed to live somehow. You notice that there, you read that, beloved, I beg you. Beg you means, I plead with you. Beloved, I beseech you, as we see in Romans 12:1. I plead with you. It's my request to you. It's not a suggestion. It doesn't say, Christian, if at all possible, you try to live a holy life. You try to live a honorable life. That is not the way he says. He says, beloved, I beg you. Christians, believers, we ought to live a life that is honorable, excellent, noble, fine, admirable, the loveliest kind of visible goodness. That's the word means, you know, refers to the loveliest kind of visible goodness. It should be the best. See, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 20, one interesting verse is there. You may have noticed that earlier. Matthew's Gospel 5:20. We read there. The Lord says, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. See, the Lord says, your righteousness,
lifestyle, the way you live, your standard of holiness must exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. Then he goes on to give that explanation with the examples. You have heard. By that, do not kill. I say to you, do not even be angry with a brother. So you have heard that you should not kill. Pharisees and scribes, they say you should not kill. Murder is evil. I say even anger is sin. That is the standard of a Christian. Then the Lord said, you have heard, do not commit adultery. I say to you, you should not even look at somebody with lust. That is sin. So a Christian standard is the highest, higher level of standard. We are supposed to live somehow. We are supposed to live anyway. We cannot copy it. Already Apostle Peter said in chapter 1 verse 14, not to fashion, not to copy the trend of your past life. You had a particular lifestyle in your ignorance. You lived in an evil way. Don't copy it. Believe it, we need a higher level of Christian life, higher level of walk, behavior. Many believers are not interested to hear those things. Especially, I don't want to say who. It's not an interesting message. It's not a popular truth to live a higher level of spiritual life. And that is what Apostle Peter says to Christians. I beg you. Now why? Why should we behave in an honorable manner? Why should our lifestyle be an excellent one? He has already given some reasons in verse 9 and 10. Because we are. Then he goes on to explain verse 11 and 12 some more reasons. The four more reasons you find there. What's the first one? The reasons. Verse 11, beginning we read there, beloved. The first reason why Christians' behavior should be excellent. Because we are God's beloved children. See that word, you know, beloved, which is written there. In original, that word is actually, I couldn't write that there. Agapetos. You know agape, you know that? Agapetos. That refers to God's love. Love of God. That word refers to God's love for His Son. This is my beloved Son, He said. And that love for His Son is transferred or extended to man, to you and me. So what Peter says, you are the object of God's immeasurable love. God loves you so much. You are the object of God's love. God loves you so much. Then, as God's dear children, you remember Apostle Peter says in Ephesians 5:1, as dear children, imitate God. Because we are God's beloved children. Romans 1:7, Apostle Paul also refers to Christians in the same manner. I like that word in Hindi. Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God. You know how is it in Hindi? Parmeshwar ke pyare. I don't know. In Hindi, we like that word, you know? Pyare bachche. Mera pyara beta. Pyara. Beloved. For Peter says, you are God's beloved children. So your life should be on a higher level. Of a higher level. Just a few more verses where Apostle Paul says the same idea. Similar idea we can see from the writings of Apostle Paul.
Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. Colossians 1 verse 10, we read there, you may walk worthy of the Lord. That's the whole sentence, verses there. Colossians 1:10 we read, Paul says, walk worthy of the Lord. Our walk should be such that will give glory to God. Then we read there, Philippians 1:27 we read, conduct worthy of the gospel. Our conduct should be worthy of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk worthy of God. That walk refers to our behavior, our lifestyle. Our entire lifestyle should be worthy of God. Then one more verse is there. Many verses are there, but just have taken these verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, we read there, walk properly. Believers should walk properly. Not any way. Not like our friends. Not like the neighbors. Not like all the others. We need to walk in a proper manner. We have a distinct, we have an excellent lifestyle which is different, from the others. We need to walk properly. Why? Because think about whom we belong to. We belong to God. We have already seen that, you know, in verse 9 we read there, we are God's own special people. God's beloved children. We belong to God, so our lifestyle should be different. See, quite often I say this example, not an example, I have noticed this, you know. You also might have noticed it. Maybe in an afternoon you travel by a DST, you will find many school children. Many school children. And you notice their uniform. By noticing that uniform, you can find out what kind of school where they are studying. Is it not true? By just seeing carefully that uniform. That uniform will say what type of school is there where they are studying. The discipline, the standing, the quality is seen in that uniform of the student. You may see a student there without a shoe, maybe without a socks, without a tie, without buttons. That speaks of the standard of the school. Christians, our behavior should be such that people should understand he is beloved of God. God's own people. God's own children. Such behavior we need. You know, Alexander, soldier, he heard that one of the soldiers of Alexander, he began to perform poorly. So the matter came to Alexander. Alexander met the soldier and asked, what is your name? What was the reply? He said, Alexander. Alexander said, either you change your behavior or change your name. Name is Alexander, but your performance in the military is not like Alexander. Poor. We bear the name of Christ. We bear the name of God. We say we are God's people. We have a highest call. We belong to God. But our lifestyle, our walk, our behavior, the way we move, the way we dress, the whole look, outlook, we need to examine. Apostle Peter says, we are God's beloved children, so our lifestyle should be honorable. Our conduct should be honorable. Now the second reason, verse 11, again in the same portion we read, sojourners and pilgrims. Sojourners and pilgrims. What is the idea there? You remember in verse 1, chapter 1 itself, in the beginning itself, he referred to this aspect. Christians are pilgrims. Christians are sojourners. Sojourners speaks of That word refers to aliens, just like our people in the Gulf. They are working there, but they are not citizens of UAE or Bahrain or Kuwait. They are there for some time. They are working there, they stay there, that's true. They do work there, but they have no city, they have no rights as a citizen. They belong to India. They are there for some time. In the same way, we also, we understand from Philippians 3:20, our citizenship belongs to heaven. We are of heaven. We are sojourners. We are here for some time. Very interesting to see that these Indians, you know, especially from Kerala, who make all kinds of problems for the government, who will call for a strike for every reason, every simple things in the Gulf, they will work quietly. You go to the Gulf and you will see, you won't see anybody breaking a traffic signal. They are obedient there. Why? They know they are not in their own land. They cannot escape easily. They know they cannot give a bribe and escape. So they behave in a proper manner. Because they know we are from a different country, we have to behave well here. So a Christian, we belong to heaven. We are here for some time, for a purpose. We need to behave in such a manner that we are, that such a manner that will show forth, that will make it known that we belong to heaven. We are not of this world. And then we are pilgrims. The word refers to traveler, visitor, guest, family, especially to, you know, holy places. They're traveling from one place to another place. They have only little bit of, you know, luggage with them. Christians are travelers. We are here for some time. And because we are here for a brief period, a short period, we should not be attached to the trend of the world, the system of the world, the method of the fashions of the world. So we should be living in such a manner that we have honorable conduct, because we are of God, God's beloved children, and we are not of this place. We are strangers and pilgrims. Now the third. Now what is the third one? I cannot ask you. The third one is, God's beloved children, sojourners and pilgrims, ongoing walk inside. Verse 11 itself, you read, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. There is a war going on. Peter says, there is a war going on inside. With whom? Fleshly lusts. With whom? With our soul. Flesh, between flesh and spirit. Actually, Apostle Paul says it, you know, a little more clearly. We all know that verse, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, 17, we read, very familiar verse, I'm sure. We read there, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. See, these are contrary to one another. The flesh lusts up against the spirit. The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and both are contrary to each other. There is an ongoing war within us. Now it's a portion that we need to study seriously. You know, many interesting thoughts are there, ideas are there, but we have no time to go into the details. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, maybe we shall read that also. In Ephesians chapter 2, just see verse 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 2,
verse 2 and 3, we read there, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, before we came to the Lord, before we got converted, what kind of life we had? We were fulfilling the lust of our flesh. Flesh speaks of the old sin nature. Flesh speaks of the sin nature that we have from Adam. In some translation, you don't read flesh, there you will read sin nature. Sin nature. Flesh speaks of the sin nature that we got from Adam. And that nature is within us. And till we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, till we got converted by the work of the Holy Spirit, we were fulfilling the desire and the demands and the cravings of that flesh. We read in 5:19, Galatians 5:19, what are those things? Our flesh likes so much. What are those things? Flesh likes adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, and so on, you know that. And flesh was demanding these things, evil things, things that are against God. And we were fulfilling the desire of flesh. But what happened? We got saved. We got delivered from the clutches of Satan. But the Bible says, even after conversion, that old sin nature is still there. We got a new nature, the spirit. And now the problem is, as Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5:17, there's a war between flesh and spirit. Peter says the same thing. War inside. Flesh demands something, spirit demands something. We are in between. What to do? What shall you do? You should not yield to the demands of flesh. Now, Apostle Peter says, because there is a war going on, what you should do? You should live such a life. Your honorable conduct, your excellent godly life is an answer to the desires of the flesh. When you live in such a way, the flesh, the power of flesh, the demand of flesh will go. And you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Now, one more thing you should remember from E.T.'s expression there. He uses the word war. You know, war. War means fleshly lust which war against the soul. A war is there, not a battle. What is the difference between war and battle? Battle or a fight refers to one fight. In Kashmir, many fights are going on, but there is no war. You know, between India and Pakistan, there is no war today. But fightings are taking place. That's only isolated fightings. But war means it's a military campaign. Declared war means any kinds of tactics will be used, any methods will be used to destroy, to defend our nation, to capture them. So Satan, evil forces, they have declared a war against us. An ongoing war. No stop. Don't think that there will be a day when I will be able to rest from all these struggles of spiritual life. I will be on the highest position of spiritual life. I will have no temptation. No. Even Apostle Paul experienced it. He said, I can't do whatever I want to do. I do things which I don't want to do. Even Paul experienced such struggle. In the struggle, Peter says, your motto, your life should be on a higher level. So that, what you shall not do? So that you will not yield to the demands of the cravings of flesh. Our lifestyle should be of an excellent one. honorable one because of the ongoing war. Now fourth one. What is the fourth one? Verse 12. Now in the end of verse 12 we read, maybe it means, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe. Which they observe. You know that observe, that word observe, notice that word observe. They observe your life. What is the difference between seeing and observing? You see something, you observe something. What's the difference? Any difference is there? You see something, you don't take any notice at all. You don't pay any attention. Yes, so. That's all. Observe means watching carefully. What is that? From where? How? Now here, Apostle Peter says, there are people who are watching a Christian. A Christian is under observation. A believer is under observation. We are being watched by people. People are carefully looking at us. Why? What's the purpose? Peter says, so that they may speak against us. They may speak against us. People are watching. That they may speak evil about us. Speak evil against us are evil doers. They are evil people. To accuse us. See another verse in chapter 3 verse 16. 3:16 we read. Peter says, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evil doers, those who revile your good conduct, defame you. One more verse, chapter 4, verse 4. In regard to this, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. When you don't live like them, our neighbors, your friends will speak against you, speak evil about you. People are watching to speak against us. You should remember that. Many years ago I thought I should live such a life that nobody will say anything against me. Nobody would ever point a finger against me. That was my intention. I realized later on that is not possible. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth as the most holy person, people criticized him. Even when we have a honorable, excellent behavior, even then people will criticize us. But the truth is, the fact is, we must make sure our enemy will not have anything to speak against. They will say, criticism is one thing, but there is something, some valid reason to accuse us. That's a sad thing. I should make sure that there is no valid reason in my life, my work, my activities, my things. Don't worry what others are saying. I should worry about my life. I should make sure that I live such a life, such an excellent life, that people, even when they criticize, they will not succeed. They will be ashamed one day. So that kind of life we need to live. Apostle Peter says in chapter 2:23, even the Lord Jesus Christ, he was reviled, did not revile in return. The answer to accusation, the answer to criticism is our excellent behavior. I don't need to justify myself. I don't need to make a clarification of my life. I don't need
to say that I didn't mean that. I don't need to say I didn't think about that. I don't need to say I am a right person. I need to live a life which is honorable, excellent, ideal, godly before God. Thus, the Bible says people will come to know the truth slowly, gradually. The best solution for criticism is living a life that is above reproach. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, maybe one more verse is there, 15 verse. That means 1 Peter 2:15. Apostle Peter says one more thing. The same idea is there. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolishness. By doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolishness. Matthew chapter 5:16. You know that familiar words, the Lord said. Read it there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father in heaven. He said, you should live in such a way that people should be able to live your good life. Your light that will shine before others. In John's Gospel, there's another interesting verse, John's Gospel 1:4. You read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had life. He had life in himself. John's Gospel 1:4. Very interesting verse it is. Only a little bit is there, but very interesting expression. In him was life. The life was the light of men. People saw the glory of Christ. How? Through his life. The life of Christ was his light. So we should be. Our life should be light. On our word, only our life that we live in Christ, the life of Christ that we reproduce should can be the light that we can give, that we can radiate. Okay, so we shall turn to the, we have seen four reasons why we should live an honorable conduct, for we should live in an excellent manner. God's beloved children, sojourners and pilgrims, the ongoing war, God's beloved children means referring to our ownership, whose we are and from where we are, sojourners and pilgrims, and the ongoing war inside and another war outside. People are there to criticize, watching us carefully, trying to trouble us. War inside, war outside. And these are the reasons why we should live honorable life. Now how shall we do that? How can we do it? The route, the road, the way, how can we do? Peter says two things there. Verse 11, abstain. The first, you understand that word, abstain speaks of what? Be away. Consciously keeping ourselves from something. No, abstain. No, actually, I think Paul says, no, yeah? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, similar idea is found there. Paul says in chapter 9, end of 9, he says, I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. In 25 he said, in the end of 24, run in such a way that you may obtain. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Then he said, I discipline my body. To get a prize, you need to forsake something. We all know that. To achieve something, you need to forsake something. You need to sacrifice something purposely, consciously. Then alone you can achieve. We all know that. Peter says, you abstain. That means consciously be away from the fleshly lust. From when the old sin nature demands certain things from you, you be away. That is discipline. Discipline. Because you know you belong to God. Because you know you are not of this world. Because you know there is a war inside, there is a war outside. You should remember. What is the most serious war? War inside. Where we have to win first of all? Not outside, inside. James says in chapter 1. See, James 1:45. Sorry, 1:14. James says in chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, he says that, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire. And then enticed. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So where we should begin first to win? Where shall we win first? Inside. Desire will come. Flesh will demand certain things. And we may think that is legitimate, that is right, that is okay. Because everybody is doing that. No, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. I belong to God. I am God's beloved child. I am a pilgrim here, stranger here. I am not supposed to follow these things. I belong to God. There is a war inside, outside. If I yield, I will fail. That's why Paul says in one more verse is there. Paul says in Romans 13, end of 13, make no provision for flesh. When we make a provision for flesh will keep on demanding something more. You must remember all this thing must have clear. We can never satisfy flesh. Our flesh will never be satisfied. The more you satisfy, our flesh will demand something more. The more we follow after the worldly things, the more the world will demand from us. The best thing is immediately put a full stop. No. No. Boldly I should say, no. One more thing is there. Peter doesn't say what Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. How can we win over the fleshly desire? How can we live such a conduct? Such honorable conduct? Apostle Paul gives another solution in chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 16. You read there, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 18 you read, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Spirit controlled life. Let us yield ourselves to the new nature, the Spirit of God. Then we shall be able to win over these evil forces. Now, what is the difference? Verse 12, end of verse 12, Apostle Peter says, when we live such honorable life, what is the result? Glorify God in the day of visitation. See, the day of visitation means two ideas are there. Who will glorify God? Our enemy. The people who speak against us. The people who criticize us. They will glorify God. When? The day of visitation. So day of visitation may mean, well, first of all, it may mean the day of judgment. They shall stand before God. Then they shall remember the godly lives they have seen. They shall glorify God and go to eternal helper. But it seems the meaning may be something different. Day of visitation in the Bible, that expression is referring to God's special visit to His people to bless them. You remember the book of Ruth, chapter 1, there is a verse, Luke 1:6. God has visited us with bread for our people. And in Luke's gospel also, we read in chapter 1, God has visited us in connection with the birth of Christ. So, God, the day of visitation speaks of God's special visit or dealings with his people to bless them. So it means, it could mean, it may mean, these people, course of time, they will be saved. Others who used to despise us, who used to speak against us, they will be saved. And when they come to the Lord, they will realize, they will praise God, they will glorify God. Why? Because I have come to God, not because somebody preached to me. I have heard that testimony. Because I saw the godly life of that sister, that brother, and that godly life attracted me to the Lord. Thank you God for working in such a way in the life of that godly woman, godly brother, godly sister. That life attracted me, challenged me to come. So they will glorify God. We should remember one thing. More than our preaching, more than our teaching, our life will influence on it. I personally believe the Bible says that is true. Influence, what influences others? Not our preaching will influence, of course, but more than that, our lifestyle. I still remember Uncle Jacob, who? Of the elder, one of the elders here, many years ago. I can never forget. 1981, one Sunday I came here. Many years ago. Some 29 years ago. Still remember the way he gave me a shake. That smiling face. That joyful face. The way he dealt with me. I can forget? No. Who can say, who will, can I say that? There was no influence made upon my mind, my life by Uncle Ivan? No. Always say, Uncle Ivan. Oh, what? When he went to be with the Lord, I was in Andhra Pradesh. I felt very sorry. He's a godly man of God. Touched my heart so much, many a times. When I used to teach Bible studies, take Bible studies in Borivali Assembly, he was an encouragement to me. The way he will respond to all the sentences, all the messages, his faith. That glory, that response. He was not a preacher. His life challenged many, influenced many. Let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, don't think that all preachers or teachers may influence. No. They may, of course. But more than that, godly life. Who can forget? I cannot forget seven such people. One dear auntie and uncle lived in Baikula. You may know who I am referring to. Touch my life. Influence my life. By what? Not by their preaching. Their godly life. Excellent lifestyle. You know, to examine. So here we see that Apostle Peter says, you conduct in such an excellent manner. Your behavior should be honored. Why? Because the reasons are ownership, God's beloved children. Our citizenship, sojourners and pilgrims. War inside, flesh and between flesh and spirit. War outside, people are watching to criticize us. How shall we do? Say no to evil, to all that is against God's word, to all the demands of the world, whatever it is against the word of God, say no. And then say yes to spirit. Spirit control life. The result? People will be attracted to the Lord. Souls will be saved, encouraged, challenged. They will glorify God. For what? For doing. They will realize that it is God's work. God's work in their life. Praising God, glorifying God. May God help us that we may live such a life in this corrupt, wicked world. In this wicked age, let us make sure that our life is excellent, honorable, noble, admirable life. A life that will people will notice and come, and by that they will come to Christ and glorify God. May His name be glorified.